Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on this episode, we're going to dive into the SEC and see who is going to win the championship this year. Now, this year is a lot different than past years, in my opinion, and it's simply because even though the SEC is widely regarded as the best conference in college football, even though I feel that's debatable, it's usually always top-heavy. You know, you either have Georgia, Alabama, and that's usually really it, what it's been dominated in the last 10 to 15 years. There's really been anyone else to really talk about. Now, the reason it feels more competitive, in my opinion, is simply because the landscape is changing. You know, you bring in Texas and Oklahoma, the retirement of Nick Saban. I mean, these storylines are unheard of in a conference that has been really pretty boring and consistent over the last 15 years. So the one thing that is really standing out to me, though, that is going overlooked is the coaching staff overhaul of Texas A&M. Now, I don't know if this can really be put into the right way to put it, how massive this is. Getting rid of Jimbo Fisher and offensive coordinator Bobby Petrino is the Christmas present that every Aggies fan deserves and probably asked for. And in this article, or in this article and episode, I will have you thinking twice about overlooking the potential of Texas A&M going into this season, and you'll be sitting there, you know, ready to cheer for them at the end of it. So let's let it rip, and we're going to dive right into the offensive production. So they are 21st in offensive returning production and 20th in offensive S&P Plus from 2023. So last year, from an advanced statistics standpoint, that's going to look pretty like average and a little bit above in certain areas. So nothing really, you know, stands out. You know, they're 54th in overall success rate, 59th in rushing success rate, 58th in passing success rate. And then when you go to the explosive side of the ball, they're going to be 36th in overall explosiveness, 59th in, or 98th in rushing explosiveness, and 23rd in passing explosiveness. So sticking with the offensive side of the ball, I really cannot emphasize enough what a big deal it is for them to bring in former Kansas State offensive coordinator Colin Klein to replace Bobby Petrino. And the reason being is Bobby Petrino, his offenses, like they're like early 2000s, 1990s style offenses. Like he has not moved in to the new century at all. And I really feel bad for anyone who is an Arkansas fan is going to have to watch him. I mean, they're going to be put to sleep while losing games. Like, it's not going to be entertaining at all. But anyway, I digress, okay? So to give you, like, a little bit of an example, last year Texas A&M ran 12 personnel and a 15.7% rate. So that's going to be 46th overall. Now, Colin Klein ran 12 personnel at a 29.4% rate at Kansas State. Now, that's double. Now, he ran it that high while ranking 36th in EPA per 12 personnel attempt. So that's a huge difference. Second, there's going to be a significant increase in motion and play action integrated into the passing attack. Last year, Texas A&M ran play action 22.8% of the time. That's 115th in the entire country. And they ran motion 16.7% of the time, 122nd. So they're running like the most vanilla basic style offense and just lining up. And unfortunately, in this day and age, you just cannot do that. Like, especially, you know, nothing against Connor Weigman, who I think is really good and is going to have a good season. He's not like that guy. You know, you have to like leverage the defense's weaknesses and cause some confusion. Now, In contrast to that, Colin Klein ran play action at 30.7% and motion at 31.2%. These changes in personnel and tactics is going to make the offense infinitely more versatile going into the season. Now, when we look at the defensive side of the ball, they are 23rd in defensive returning production and 20th in defensive S&P Plus from 2023. Now, they are elite defensively, and arguably you could say this is the unit that's going to lead them to their ceiling. So their overall success rate was 19th, their rushing success rate 6th, and their passing success rate 47th. From an explosive standpoint, they were 111th overall, and that is going to be 67th in rushing explosiveness allowed and 98th in passing explosiveness allowed. Now, those aren't great numbers, but when you look at the havoc rate that they're entailing on offenses, you almost can like accept the big plays allowed. They're 4th in overall havoc rate, 3rd in front 7th havoc rate, and 19th in defensive back havoc rate. Like, that's as elite as it gets. And they're probably going to do the same again this year with the production they're returning. Now, one thing that is kind of a trend in the teams I'm looking at, whether or not it's they're unexpected to have big years or they're on the come up, is I'm looking at teams who are going to have positive regression and volatile statistics. And one of those things, they're 0-4 in one-score games last year, -2 in turnover margin, 85th overall, and -1.92, 100th overall in fumble luck. So those statistics right there, if they regress towards the mean in those, they're already going to have a better season than they had last year. Now, that being said, we also cannot take away the upgrade at head coach. Mike Elko out of Duke is infinitely better than Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher reminds me of John Calipari in basketball. He has done less with more talent than anybody than I can ever remember, at least in my generation. Every year we would hear about how great the recruiting class is, how great the recruiting class is, and that never mattered. So the way I look at it is simply they will see the positive regression and they will see the turnover margin and the fumble luck. Now, the strength of schedule looks way more difficult when you're just taking a look at it than actually diving into it. So they're going to play Missouri, LSU, and Texas, but those will all be at home. They will also open the year with Notre Dame, but it will be at home. And their toughest road game of the year is going to be at Florida or Auburn, whichever you feel is or think is the better team. Now, they're going to avoid Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. So when I look at it like from that perspective, if they go 7-1 or 6-2 in the SEC, that is going to be good enough to probably make the SEC championship game. And the reason I'm leaning more towards them, now there are no divisions, and it's just straight up whoever has the top two best records, and you're going to see some regression, even though I think Alabama is going to be really good with bringing in Kalen DeBauer and that staff to help Jalen Milroe. They are going to have some negative regression from what they had last year. Ole Miss, Missouri, they play very soft schedules. They're very good. But they're probably going to see some negative regression also in those volatile statistics. And then, you know, after that, you know, Georgia will play an infinitely tougher schedule than they played last year. So I think there is definitely a case to be made that they can really get after it. All the things line up for them. They are talented enough. The coaching staff is talented enough. And they, all their tough games that they're going to go up against is going to be, you know, at home. So essentially when I'm running down the odds for it, A&M is +450 to make the SEC championship game. They're plus 1,400 to win the SEC championship game, and they're plus 240 to make the playoffs. I realistically will probably have a piece of every single one of those. And simply because the value is there for a team that is talented, that is getting an upgrade from the coaching staff, a gigantic upgrade, and they're going to have positive regression on the volatile side, of the volatile statistics side. And the way you need to look at it is if you're like, okay, well, I'm going to take them 14-1 to win the SEC championship game. If they make it there, they are not going to be more than a 6-point underdog to anybody. So you're going to be holding an extremely valuable ticket at that point. So that's going to be it for this episode. As always, there will be a correlating article on my website, themittnermethod.com. And if you want to reach out and talk about the process or have any suggestions or questions or anything like that, you can always reach me on Twitter, or you can email me at themittnermethod@gmail.com. Now, we're looking to release probably 2 episodes a day all the way up until opening weekend, which will be week 0. And we still have several conference previews to do, Heisman previews, some coordinator stuff. So there's a lot of content left to release still. So, but for today, that's going to be it. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.